Hey, it works.
Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. In the second hour, we typically talk about resource issues. We talk about hard asset issues, you know, and I wanted to start out this particular week's second hour with Roger Wiegand. And Roger is a newsletter writer, been on the show a number of times. Numerous times, I guess is a better way to put it. He has a newsletter called Trader Tracks, a very good newsletter. He also is a very accurate and efficient technician when it comes to looking at price trends, et cetera, et cetera. And Roger and I were chatting a couple of days ago, and he was telling me about technical reasons that people should buy gold right now. And that intrigued me because I have a real interest in precious metals. My family and I purchased gold and silver, and I thought that this was something that perhaps would benefit listeners in terms of why they might want to consider buying gold or silver right now. Please don't construe this as being investment advice, because it's not. It's just I'm explaining, I guess, on this show why I do the things that I do, and if it makes sense to you, great, and if it doesn't, what can I say? Hey, Raj, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Nice to be here.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about why you feel, from a technical standpoint, people should be buying gold right now.
We're looking at the June gold futures daily chart, the trading chart. It had a high back in December, the first week of December of 1229. It had a low of about 1042 in February. That downtrend has completed. There was a breakout in the middle of February. We regained a position back from 1042 up to about 1142, about 100 points. We've now corrected back from that. We've got new support at 1085, and we're back today at 1136. These chart patterns indicate that we should touch back to at least 1157 on a 50% retracement, and if we go to a full retracement, we should go all the way to $1,260, which we did forecast about 15 months ago at a show in New Jersey. The chart, because of the inverse head and shoulders, looks very bullish. It's a widespread pattern. When these patterns are wide, they do produce great upswings, and we're looking for gold to go at least to 1155, 57, as I mentioned, with potential to go to 1229, 1260. So we like what we see on the charts. We've got time in the cycles to do it. The breakout is very clear. Copper has followed with a tremendous price increase. It's gone way up over 360. It may be topping out pretty soon because they're saying that China's going to slow down on some of their buying on base metals because of the fact they could be in a bubble. But generally, between now, we're looking, today is the first week of April, roughly, and I think that we've got trading on the high side for the rest of April and perhaps well into May. We were wondering this week whether or not we would stop, pause, and sell between April 5 and April 9. There's still some chance of that. We could see a little bit of pausing and selling. But I think after that happens, we're back to a new rally, because the big investors with the money for big stocks are showing on their technical indicators that they're going to be buyers, and they intend to drive prices a lot higher. Our forecast for S&Ps, the E-minis, on the S&P chart that I run real time should be 1,200. It's 1,284 right now on the June contract. It could go as high as 1,250, and we are expecting that, possibly out to as far as mid-May, maybe even to Memorial Day. Now, after that end of next month or the last week of next month, we're looking for major selling across the board on all of these things. It's hard to say how far gold is going to come down, but we think it will come down depending on how high it goes. And the stock markets are going to sell. We've got several shorts lined up, short position ideas, I should say. We've got about five or six of those. And the opportunity to make money on the short side in the stock indexes and some other things we've got is really a fantastic opportunity because the speed is very quick. Things have a way of dropping down about three times faster than when they go up. So, you know, there's good trading going on here in this prime time of the year for futures traders and share traders. We're open in all our favorites in our newsletter right now for the stocks. And while they've been pausing of late, we're looking for more buying.
When you talk about, you know, you're open in all your positions right now in terms of the stocks, we're talking about resource stocks for the most part, aren't we, Roger?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I've got a grouping of what I call odds and ends. They're usually ETFs or unusual kinds of trades within the shares, not direct company shares per se, but ways to short or to go long certain segments like the GLD and the SLV, the CRB, and a variety of other things that we can, tools that we have available to us now so that we can continue to trade the market both on the long side and the short side, conceivably from now all the way to the 4th of July.
Interesting times. But you are, in terms of gold, you're bullish, it sounds to me like, in the short term, but then you're looking for a decrease in price, you were saying, about midsummer. Is that right?
Well, it could come as early as Memorial Day or prior to. You know, we'll go through another cycle. Keep in mind the gold cycles are 46 days from a base to a high to another base. That's 46 trading days.
Okay.
So the bottom to top to bottom. And that cycle will probably end before Memorial Day. Also, I want to emphasize that during this week of April, April 5 through April 9, we are looking for a peak an intermediate peak between those 2 days for a lot of our favorites in gold and silver and the shares. Now, that's going to worry some people, and they're going to think that's the top and that's the end. I don't think that it is. It's difficult to tell because the upside has been pretty mild. However, we're looking for a continuation triangle sideways technically, maybe this week, next, and then a resumption of the buying. So we're holding our positions to the long side.
So typically then, if someone were looking for a buying opportunity and they were technically oriented, they would probably wait until this summer.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on their time frame. You know, if they're buy and hold trade twice a year, perhaps they would because they would be seeking a bottom after, say, maybe mid-July, the end of July. That would be probably a good spot to get in near a bottom. But, you know, there's a long time between now and then. I mean, we're only in the first week of April at this juncture.
Sure.
So we've got easily... 4 and 3, we've got 7 weeks of trading probably to the long side with one pausing interruption in the middle. So we intend to take full advantage of that 7 week period. Whatever it gives to us, we're set up to deal with it. And then after that, we're going to be shorting.
Well, the interesting question I have here, though, is should people buy resource stocks now if they're so inclined, or should they wait until this summer?
No, I would be inclined to buy them now.
And why is that?
You know, obviously, you've got to be picky. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to pick the right ones. They can also trade futures and commodities in this market, which we do as well. I mean, we like gold and silver and grain and a variety of other things. But, you know, when things tell us that it's time for a peak and a turn, we'll just move over to the other side and go short.
Raj, when you're talking about a correction this summer, though, are you talking about prices lower perhaps than they are today?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's entirely very possible.
Then why should...
One thing we need to encourage people is this. If they buy junior shares and miners and they buy them, they're going to have to sell them into strength for the most part, or they're going to have to endure a sell-off and a downturn because... Let's say you bought a junior stock at $1, it went to $2, and then it rolled over and started to sell. If you tried to get out and just put a market order in all likelihood, you would lose a good chunk of your profit, if not all of it, because there wouldn't be any buyers for those shares.
So now is not a good time to buy them.
Well, it just depends. I mean, if you're willing to go in and buy something for a month, and you could make a 25% return or something better, I would do it.
Well, there you have it from Roger Wiegand. Take it all into consideration, look at every angle, and then make up your own mind.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The mighty Roman soldier was given a daily ration of fermented fish oil. The stoic Scandinavian Viking had a drum of fermenting cod livers outside the door of his home. And Grandma always had cod liver oil in the cupboard. Today, Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality, nutrient-dense cod and other fish liver oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, through fermentation. Cold-fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture's products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. Receive a 20% discount off your first order at greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code radio at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good for a limited time. Call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818 or go to greenpasture.org today.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit idstronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. We're talking about the resource sector in this hour of the Corlin Economics Report weekend edition, and heard some reasons from Roger Wiegand in the previous segment about, you know, why he thinks for some significant technical reasons we could see some increases in the price of gold and gold and silver stocks. I would agree with that 100%. I mean, look what the market's doing right now. This was a very strong week for the market, and for the time being, I think that we're in definitely an upward trend, and I think that long term that upward trend is really going to continue. And that's why my wife and I, anyway, in terms of our insurance, our financial security, we do invest in the resource sector. Okay, having said that, I'm chatting right now with Jeff Phillips. Jeff is a veteran of the industry. He finances companies in the resource industry. He's got an impeccable track record. He's been doing this for the past, I don't know, dozen years at least. Anyway, Jeff works out of Southern California when he's not traveling around the world. He's a good friend, and I want to get his views on a couple of questions. Jeff, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me today, Al.
I got a couple of questions for you. You know, the one thing that I find really intriguing right now is last Thursday in the Wall Street Journal, Dr. Bernanke came out, and he said the U.S. has to address the soaring debt. You know, he kind of elaborated a little bit by saying the U.S. must start to prepare for challenges posed by an aging population with a credible plan to gradually reduce a soaring debt. Well, he's talking, among other things, about Social Security. You know, we discussed entitlements during the first hour, but you know, there are three ways to reduce this debt. Number one, you can renege on it, and I quite frankly don't believe the United States would do that. Number two, you can inflate your way out of it. This is what happened back in the 70s. We inflated our way out of debt, and that's a very effective way to do it, although it is can be very, very hard on the populace. Or number three, you can raise taxes. Well, if Big Al was to make a guess, he would say you're probably going to see some inflation and you're probably going to see some higher taxes, because if you don't, the locomotive that's chasing the United States economy and about ready to run it over is going to do just that, and we're not going to survive. Either scenario, whether we're talking about an inflationary environment or whether we're talking about higher taxes, Jeff, I mean, that's very, very positive in my mind for hard assets and for stocks involved in the hard asset industry. Do you agree?
Yeah, you have to separate the two, Al. I think, though, you know, for the hard assets, for the physical metals, your golds, your silvers, your platinums and things, I think it's definitely a positive scenario. I think you've been seeing this as, you know, people are beginning to, you still haven't seen it in the mainstream press, really, but let's face it, gold's moved from $300 an ounce in 2001. To where it stands today, which is I don't even know where it's at today.
It's right, 1150. Yeah, as we're recording.
1150 today. So, I mean, obviously, gold's telling you something over the last 9 years. I think that's going to continue. I think, you know, where I differ from some people is everybody wants to say that, you know, the whole markets are going to crash and the dollar is going to be devalued and inflation's coming and it's all going to happen tomorrow. I don't necessarily know when it's going to happen, but I do think, you know, having a portion of your assets in physical metals or any other commodities to some degree is a prudent move. As far as resource stocks go, you know, there's a wide range of those stocks you can buy from your New York Stock Exchange listed major gold producers like Newmont and Barrick Gold and Goldfields and companies like that, all the way down to the smallest of junior companies that are just exploring really a property that has a few showings of gold and they're swinging for the fences hoping they find something. So there's a wide range of companies you can invest in that arena, and it's not the same. Buying a Newmont is the same as really buying gold. You've got a pretty good option there on the price of gold. They produce gold. They have a lot of gold in inventory. Buying an XYZ company that doesn't have a resource yet on their property, it doesn't really matter what the price of gold does. If they make a big discovery, you're going to be fabulously wealthy. If they don't, they're not going to be worth anything.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. We're going to talk about the fundamentals of what investors need to look for during the next segment with a fellow by the name of Mickey Fulp, who's a geologist. But, Jeff, I have found over the years, and I've been involved in this industry now for 30 years, I'm sorry to admit, but I have found that investing in the stocks in the resource sector clearly represents, I think, the most upside in terms of potential profits. Now, by the same token, it also represents the most risk. But the leverage, in my mind, I certainly wouldn't put all of our money into junior resource companies, but I sure would put a portion of it in there, and I do.
Absolutely. I think it's and as you know, I have because I'm in the business, I have a larger proportion of my wealth in those companies, and I spread my risk. Again, I think the precious metals markets are going to do very well, and so I've got some gold and silver companies that already have assets in the ground and have exploration potential, or what we call blue sky, to really add value to the resources they already have. And, you know, I play both sides. I've also got some base metal stocks. And when a lot of people last year were saying the world was ending and all these, and, you know, buy gold stocks, don't buy base metal stocks, my base metal stocks have performed very well. And as you know, I've also invested in some rare earth companies. And,
sure.
And, you know, and they're sort of run contradictory. I mean, you know, if the, you know, gold could do very, you know, I think gold's going to do well no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's a store of wealth, and I think people realize it's something that can't get taken away from them.
Correct.
At least I do, and that's why I buy it on a regular basis.
Sure.
Physical gold.
Sure.
So, and I don't really care what the price is. It's not something I'm going to be selling anytime soon, and I'm glad to have that. So, and if you remember 2008 when people were starting to line up at the banks, there's a reason I like to own some gold.
Well, they were starting to line up at the banks. I mean, I think the best example of that was right down in your neck of the woods, wasn't it? It was a bank in San Diego, if I'm not mistaken, where people actually were lined up outside. No, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, for literally thousands of years, the currency of last resort has been gold, and to an extent today, you know, gold and also silver. And I happen to prefer silver for a whole bunch of reasons, but, you know, and that's what we do. But regardless, you know, it's interesting. I really wonder sometimes why people haven't realized this sooner. You know, Jeff, in 2001, when gold was trading around $250 an ounce, the Corlin Economics Report was a real typical business show. You know, we talked with executives from companies like Boeing and Microsoft, and we talked with stockbrokers who were involved and analysts who were involved in the conventional stock market. And, you know, I simply, by about 2001, couldn't understand, as I was seeing people lose literally 50% of their IRAs, you know, et cetera, I couldn't understand why people were investing in what clearly was a high-tech bubble. I mean, there's no question about that. And I saw what was going on in the U.S. economy, and I realized, you know, gold and silver are the places to be. And I totally changed the emphasis on this radio show from general business to hard assets. And, you know, timing is everything. What's happened? Well, gold's gone from about $250 an ounce up to $1,150. You know, it's, am I a genius? Probably luckier than most is all I can say. Final words.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was good timing on your part, Al. And I think, you know, again, you hear people saying gold's in a bubble. I think eventually gold will, it is a bubble, but I think it's got a lot further to go as people, you know, start to realize the financial problems we've created around the world, our governments and the debts that are owed. And so again, I think you're going to see gold doing very well for a number of years. And I'm happy to be in that space. And I like some of the base metal plays too. So.
I know you do. Well, listen, we're going to get you back, Jeff. Thanks for taking some time. Big Al's going to be right back. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm chatting with a very, very interesting gentleman right now who is in Australia. His name is Richard Carn. Let me tell you a little bit about Richard. Richard is the originator, for lack of better terms, of a really, really good publication called the Emerging Trends Report. Richard was introduced to me by a good friend, Laura Stein, who is very, very active in the mining industry. And Richard contacted us, a few months ago and said, you know, I'm going to be doing a special study on the mining industry in Australia. I think your listeners might be very interested in what is going on down here. And I said, yeah, I mean, I'm very, very interested. We know quite a bit about the mining industry in North America, but very, very little about it regarding Australia. So we've been chatting with Richard the last couple of weeks and decided to make him give him a regular segment on the radio show. Australia, what's going on down there, Richard?
It's fall, so it's a little wet today. But we're having a great time down here. I'd like to start today by actually saying it is important for me to stress how much support we've received from the Australian mining industry.
Yeah.
We're still interviewing a lot of company executives and going out looking at projects in New South Wales, although it looks very, very likely I'll be getting to look at one in Victoria in the next couple of weeks and probably up to Queensland before we actually get on the road to head out of New South Wales to get on to South Australia. There's just a lot more going on here than we had imagined. We had picked out 6 regions of Australia to visit in this circumnavigation. And what happened was we didn't anticipate how many companies, for example, whose operations are in the Northern Territory or are in Western Australia. Their headquarters are actually in Sydney, which, of course, is the financial capital of Australia. But in any case, the Australians have been just tremendous hosts. For example, as we were laughing the other day, that 2 mining companies that are completely outside the purview of what we're investigating. We're here to investigate simply precious and specialty metal companies. We've identified 42 precious and specialty metals that the world is going to run short of shortly. 36 of them at minimum will be in production here in Australia, if not now, within the next 2 years, three at the outside. And so these are the projects we want to go and look at. But we've had invitations from two mining companies who are outside the purview of our research, as well as one hedge fund and one brokerage, to give us office space, computer hookups, secretarial help, the whole nine yards, because they see tremendous value in what we're doing. For Australian companies to gain exposure in the United States is a very lengthy and very expensive undertaking. So everybody is very, very supportive. And in a country like this, the mining industry is very, very much a brotherhood. And the connections and whatnot, getting plugged in and getting introductions and meeting people down here has been critical. And I cannot overstate how absolutely stunningly cooperative these people have been.
Let me just ask you a couple of questions about what you're
sure.
doing down there, and then we can elaborate more. You'll be on the show again next week, and we can chat about, you know, some other issues at that time. But the mining industry in Australia, a lot of people are unaware of it, but it is a very, very robust industry down there, correct?
Oh, certainly. 2008 was the first year that the mining commodity exports actually surpassed manufacturing. We're having a tremendous boom down here. Many people think it's the biggest boom in Australian history. For example, I was unaware of this, so I always find this shocking, but there are 26,179 mineral and energy projects in Australia at the end of 2008, because things are just absolutely booming. It's going to be really interesting when we get on the road, because the costs attendant to a boom are always just outrageous. You know, you have to pay everybody. You know, if everybody just thinks about what happened in Alberta with the oil sands a few years ago, and now I picture this on a growing national basis here in Australia, and it's really, the stories coming out are fantastic. It's really fascinating. It's really exciting to be a part of it. Especially in energy, they're really taking off. Obviously, we get the oil industry and natural gas in particular, but also the iron industry and coal and the base metals have a tremendous amount of coverage in the United States, as do many of the larger gold projects. But the precious and specialty metals in general are undercovered, and they were hit very, very hard by the global financial crisis in terms of funding. So they're very slowly getting back to their feet, and it's a sector we're just fascinated by.
I really commend you for what you're doing down there. This is kind of a labor of love, for lack of better terms, but I think that you are providing a really, really great service to people who are interested in the resource sector, and that certainly includes the listeners on this program. Is there anything that you feel that we should discuss on the show this week as opposed to putting it off until next week?
Well, this is a quick, neat little story I'll share with you. Anglo-American, the South African gold company, tried to enter the Australian precious metal space in the late 70s during the gold boom. And in 1976, they bought a property out in Western Australia, which had a vaguely similar mineralization to what they were used to in South Africa. And they were going to use this as a strategy to geographically diversify their interests. So they got this property. It was a very, very rich property. It was an orostibnite narrow vein gold mine, and they were producing 36 grams per ton of gold with 3.5% antimony by volume. Now, the interesting thing was that they suddenly realized that they were losing about 20% of the gold that they were recovering to antimony contamination, because it's a refractory ore. There are all kinds of complications in it. And try as they would, they couldn't figure out what was going on. And so in 1979, they folded up and went home. But the interesting thing was that it turned out that in 1982, 1983, a company called Golconda, who specializes in processing tailings, came in, used Anglo-American's treatment plant, and all they did was adjust the process flow sheet, and they were able to recover a little bit more than 6 grams per ton from the tailings. Now, that the story of this is really interesting, because process technology, and material science and metallurgy have just been exploding. The technology is so far out there. It's so cool. Nobody talks about it because nobody understands it. But when you look at it, it's really, really neat. And what happened to Anglo American was that they were doing the standard crush and grind the orostibnite ore and then leach the gold from solution and then float off the antimony. and they were losing a tremendous amount of gold, you know, roughly 20% of their gold. And what they didn't realize was that the antimony was cannibalizing all of the available oxygen in solution, which shut down the gold leaching process long before it had reached any type of optimal recovery rate. And so 20% of it was just going straight into tailings. Now, this is a major part of Anglo-American packing up and going home. And this company, Golconda, comes in and they look at this and they say, well, hold on, this should work. What's going on? So they play with things, And what they came up with was they super oxygenated the solution with hydrogen peroxide and 6 grams of gold per ton, which is very high, fell out of the tailings, floated off the tailings. This is the type of story we're finding, and it's important to remember that to this day, when you talk, you know, old timers say, oh no, it's a refractory ore, you know, it's a refractory ore body, or it's an orostibnite. Oh my God, it's got antimony contamination. What happens is there's a lot of companies down here that have gold bodies with significant antimony in them, and they are significantly underpriced by the market because people still have this contamination issue, when in actuality, it's completely been settled for 20 years and people just aren't aware of it. Now, of course, you take that and you float off you gravity separate your gold, and then you take the rest of it and send it to a smelter. They send you back 80 to 85% of the gold value and 85 to 90% of the antimony value, which right now for antimony it's $7,000 a ton. It's a lot of money. But it's an interesting story down here about, you know, just how the industry works and the advances in material science and how it's changing the extraction and of processing flow sheet technology.
That is interesting. I kind of would like to continue this discussion definitely next week, because you're an interesting guy. You are a former associate professor of literature and film, if I'm not mistaken. You're a very well-educated individual, a couple of master's degrees, etc. And it would be fun to have you share with our listeners, you know, exactly why you developed this huge passion that you have for the mining industry. You know, kind of coincidental with our report from Australia next week, I'd like to hear a little bit about that. Richard Karn, Emerging Trends Report, always a pleasure, my friend.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish, with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well-respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the last segment of the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. I am chatting right now with Michael Fult, Mickey Fult. Mickey is known in our industry as the mercenary geologist. He's a very, very interesting individual. He's a very knowledgeable individual. Mickey has a graduate degree in geology, graduated there with honors. He is currently writing a book entitled The Guide to Speculating in Junior Resource Companies. Mickey helps me out a lot when I am examining companies that I'm considering following. Mickey helps me out a lot when I am looking for opinions on technical issues in the sector of resource companies. I've got a lot of respect for this guy. Mickey, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Now, tell me a little bit about how you view this industry in terms of investing, or as you call it, speculating.
Well, Al, I very much view it as speculating and not investing. This, in my opinion, and in my experience as an investor for many years, this is your gambling money. This is your fun money. This is money that you can afford to lose, and it's not going to affect your well-being. So in that regard, investing in junior resource companies, I do not believe should be in your IRA, your 401k, or your RSP. The goal here is to find companies that explore projects that have a chance to become profitable mines, and you will hear over and over again as we kind of do our educational series here that I will emphasize profitable mines. But this field is full of landmines that that make this investing or speculating decisions difficult. The way I take the risk out of it is I apply a very conservative investing philosophy to a high-risk venture capital stock.
Okay. What do you mean exactly when you say a conservative trading approach?
It starts with the evaluation, and that's the three key criteria, which we will talk more about in upcoming shows, share structure, people, projects. Mm-hmm. They need to be undervalued with respect to their peers. So my investing philosophy is to any stock that I speculate in has to have a double in 12 months or less. Now, that's not that really that hard to do when you really look at the junior resource industry. Any given stock is likely to have, from its high and its low, a 52-week double. So the key to this is that we need to invest when these stocks are low or undervalued. Those times generally occur when the stock has low volume, and it usually is at a higher price when it has a high volume, and this has to go with the cyclical nature of junior resource stocks. They go through periods of boisterous activity, and then they're dormant for a while. They drill, they get assay results, they have a geologic interpretation, then they go out and raise money again. So this sort of yo-yo effect gives us buying and selling opportunities.
Okay, so specifically, how do you trade, Mickey, concisely?
I religiously sell one half upon a double of my cost basis. And that's probably, as you're well aware, the only religious thing I do. But by selling half of my position, then I have zero cost basis for the half position remaining. And then I'm playing with house money or someone else money or maybe even your money, Al. But then I take my original investment and I find another stock and that's undervalued. And I do it all over again. So I'm preserving my capital at all times. And I have dry powder, which is kind of a phrase that you'll hear, keep some powder dry. So I always have a cash position in my portfolio to continue to find stocks that are undervalued.
Mickey, how and when exactly do you take your profits?
Well, this is very a disciplined approach too, and it part of this has to do with I'm on the road all the time, sometimes in very remote places of the emerging world, so I don't have access to my broker. So I have programmed open orders to sell on the uptick at certain intervals, and that interval may be every 10 cents. I sell a small tranche or 25 cents or 50 or a dollar, and those intervals are based on evaluation of the company and analysis of the three key criteria. So I'm continually taking profits throughout this process. And I sell too soon, there's no doubt about that, but I'm not usually around for the final 10 baggers, but I've moved on and doubled my money while you're sitting there waiting, or maybe not you, but other investors waiting for the big kill. Very seldom do the big kills happen, so I'm taking profits all the way through and reinvesting that money.
The markets that you and I invest in, again, I want to say that you call it speculating. The markets that you speculate in, they are very cyclical, okay? You've got bull phases, you've got bear phases, you know, good phases, bad phases, etc. Okay, how does your philosophy work in bull markets or strong markets or bear markets, i.e. weak markets?
Okay, well, I'll say right up front, this is an infallible way to make a lot of money in a bull market. If in a bull market, valuations are increasing all the time. So by playing the double down philosophy over and over again, you're constantly doubling your cash position and the amounts that you have to invest. In a bear market, it's a little bit different, but it still works because we're looking for undervalued stocks. So in a bear market, by picking good companies that are fundamentally sound, we're getting them at very low prices. It's a contrarian philosophy. I buy when no one else is buying. So we cherry pick in a bear market. We cherry pick the really good companies and we sit on them and wait until the market improves or valuations improve. So it works quite well in this contrarian philosophy in a bear market too. Not quite so easy in a bear market, but it works beautifully in that market too.
Okay, now it's obvious to me in listening to you, I mean, to me this stuff is second nature because I've been doing it for so long, and we'll talk about that here shortly. But you know, a lot of people who invest in this market, Mick, they're not nearly as... Oh, I'm not even quite sure. Well, let's just say they're not as familiar with it as you and I are. So obviously your trading methodology is dependent on your ability to pick good stocks at the right time. Address that one first, and then I want to elaborate a little bit on that issue.
Okay. It very much is dependent on the individual investor or speculator's ability to pick good stocks. And that's part of what I'm trying to do here, Al. Or we're both trying to do this through this audio program. And that's the reason for my book. It's a primer for the lay investor. So we're trying to give people the tools to continually be able to pick good stocks based on share structure, people and projects, be systematic, be diligent, be consistent, and take emotion out of it. And so that will lead into the next audio that we do, and we're going to go in and try to tell people ways to evaluate share structure, people, and projects, and consistently make good picks in this business.
And that'll be fun, and we're going to do that. We're going to do that in an upcoming show. Actually, we're going to do that one next week on next week's show. But having said that, you know, one thing that I have found over the years is that your sources of information within this industry are very, very important. And, you know, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, Mickey, but, you know, there are many newsletter writers out there, for example. Some of the newsletter writers, all of the ones that appear on my program are people who are very responsible, they're very credible, they don't fall into the category of the letter writers, those letter writers, I guess I should say, who have hidden agendas. And what do I mean by hidden agendas? Well, the companies that they recommend are paying them, and these people aren't disclosing it. This is a big issue in my mind in business radio. You know, you find a lot of advertorials, for lack of better terms, on business radio, and they're not disclosed as being advertorials. And I think this is immoral, quite frankly. I really do. You know, people listen to these shows, and they just assume that what they're hearing is unbiased, arm's-length information, etc., and sometimes it's not. So I think it's critical that people really, really study their sources of information. And if possible, if you're going to get involved in this industry, go find yourself a good investment advisor / stockbroker who knows the industry backwards and forwards. You know, our industry is fraught with danger, no question about that. But having said that, it's also fraught with a huge amount of opportunity. Mickey, always appreciate your time.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.